be stoned to death. My God, you need to teach that man 10 years before you baptize him. Truly. But no, the very time the preacher, in fact, isn't it surprising how different man-made churches run from what is revealed? When the preacher met him, remember, he's the same preacher, if my memory serves me right, when Jesus Christ sent Ananias to baptize Paul, and he said, Lord, it's like Ananias said, God, you don't know the man there, you know. He has done this. He has done this to the church. He has done all this wickedness. You sure you want to send me to him? And God said, go on, he's a chosen vessel. Now, when the preacher met him, the preacher didn't think in his mind, say, you know what? I need to be having discussion with this man for some weeks or months to get some of the sin out of him. There was no such thinking. Notice what the preacher did. What are you waiting for? Well, that's the man you should never have said that to. That is looking on things our way. And that's the very man that was said. In other words, the preacher is saying, praying and waiting. No, you need to become a Christian now. The denomination have not read that or see the implication of that. Are be cognizant of the type of person Saul was before he got baptized, became a Christian, and became Paul. Nobody was ever put in candidate class. We pointed out that all that the prospective convert needs to know are the fundamental, the basic. I am a sinner. The prospective convert need to acknowledge that. I need Jesus Christ. I need Jesus Christ. I'll have to look for that thing after service. Yes. I need Jesus Christ. The prospective convert need to understand not only that any man or woman becoming a Christian need to acknowledge that he is a sinner. That's important. And we must never take that for granted. He needs to acknowledge, I sin. I have not lived, I have not conducted my life the way God has placed here for me to conduct that life. And therefore, I'm a sinner needing a Savior. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. And that belief and acceptance, the sinner is taught the precondition. And as we know, Jesus is precondition. Is, I've just mentioned one, faith in Jesus Christ. Repentance from sin. Confession of Jesus' name. And getting baptized with a resolve that you will come from the water to live a faithful life until death. Watch here now. Do I need to be taught where I master the subject of faith? Well, even when you have spent 100 years in the Lord's church, you still will not master the subject of faith. Does a prospective convert need to master the subject of faith? Repentance, confession. In other words, how much does the prospective convert is expected to know? Just enough to know that he or she must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that Jesus Christ died for my sin. Repentance, the prospective convert needs to know that any sin he or she recognizes in his or her life must be turned away from. the prospective convert must understand that you must not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And therefore, not being ashamed of him, you must be willing to confess his name from your mouth. And you must accept that God will address your sin problem, remove that all the sins you have committed in the past when you obey him in baptism. I was about to make a statement, but let me hold that. So that's all the prospective convert needs to know. May I? When we ended 3 weeks ago, or whenever it was, we look at two cases. We look at Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer. Here is a suicidal candidate for baptism. Here is a man who was just about to commit suicide, just probably a hour or two before, if that much. And he was not placed in a candidate class. The Philippian jailer was baptized the same hour of the night. Here is another character that, if there was a person who needed to be placed in a candidate class. In fact, even with our knowledge, for many of us, the temptation would be if we meet such a person like that. Brother Mitchell, my neighbor, drives my shade to kill himself, but when he cut him throat, he didn't go far enough. And he said, when I stop him and speak to him, he's bleeding, but he same want to become a Christian. The cut is not serious. Probably I would be tempted to say, well, look here, with a man, I cut him own throat. Let's see if we can arrange to have discussion with him for a few weeks. But if I suggest that, I would be wrong. That would be against God's will. What I need to do is to make sure, spend some time with the man. Is it a few minutes or whatever? Make sure he understands the basic that I have just. And once he understands that, he's ready for baptism. And we have a case like that in the person of the Philippian jail. At the same hour of the night. Men in the denominational world don't read this passage. And if they read it, they probably think they are wiser than God. No man is. The other character is the Ethiopian nobleman that had brought up. He was coming from church and reading the Bible. He didn't understand anything we might read. And he acknowledged it. Humility is a wonderful thing. The preacher taught him. Preacher did not even recommend that you think over these things and when you are ready to be baptized, call me. No, that was probably about 1,000 miles from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. He baptized him right then and there. That's God's way. And that ought to be the Church of Christ's way. We ought to make sure that the person understands the basic preconditions to baptism. And remember when I talk about that is a R. When I talk about preconditions. Of course, you must be taught. All these are preconditions. Then comes baptism. You must be taught. You must have faith. You must repent of your sin. You must confess Christ. then you are ready for baptism. These are what is referred to as pre-condition, P-R-E. That's right, preconditions to baptism. That is, these must come, 1, 2, 3, 4, they must come before baptism. It doesn't take one whole day to explain those things to a person. And the two cases we have that I threw out, in fact, I brought in Paul, Acts of the Apostle 22, from verse 16 or somewhere there. And then the Philippian jailer, the Ethiopian nobleman. All three cases, you will see that just the basic was shared with them, and they were then ready to be baptized according to Jesus' standard. May I? I believe I made the statement then that the average prospective convert today who come to the Church of Christ to become a Christian, that average prospective convert knows much, much more than the prospective convert in the Bible. That's right. Among other reasons is one, most men and women today have been informed or instructed or got some basic idea even before they're ready to become a Christian in respect to some of these things. Almost any person you meet, they're going to have some idea, not in any detail, but most of them will have some idea in respect to hearing about Jesus Christ, that he died for our sin. And even though they remain ungodly, they would have believed that Jesus Christ died for our sin. And many times when you explain to them what they are to do, it's not strange to them. Lot of the prospective convert in the Bible, Christianity was new to them. I mean, new. The Philippian jailer, the Ethiopian nobleman, didn't know the difference between worshiping as a Christian and worshiping at the Jewish synagogue. So the average prospective convert today knows much more than the average prospective convert that you and I read about in the book of Acts of the Apostles. Should I be baptized over? As I've said, when I present this lesson, right that week, at least two members came to me. And it's an experience that I've had many times over the years, not just here, all over. People who sometimes a person hear a sermon, that brother or sister has been a Christian for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years and more. Person hear a sermon, sometimes it's on baptism and it is so enlightening. It's so eye-opening. Sometimes the person hear a message and it make the person feel, I want to become a Christian over. That's natural feeling. So do I need to be baptized over, Brother Mitchell? No. Not if you have had or given knowledge in respect to being taught the truth, having faith in Christ, repenting of your sin, confessing. And we know that in the Church of Christ this is consistent. May I? As Christian, we are expected to grow and progress in Jesus Christ from being babes to being adults. It's important that we be mindful of that. We are not expected to remain at the same stage spiritually once we have become Christian. We are expected to make progress. Who expect that of us, Brother Mitchell? The Almighty God. Look at this passage. 1 Peter 2, read them quick for me. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through 8. Hebrews chapter 5. Let us hear them quick. Wherefore, put aside all malice
and all guile and hypocrisies
and hypocrisy
and envies.
What is guile? Among the things that is included, I start to pick that out, is the tendency in some to speak evil. Guile. Bitterness. Okay? Yes.
And hypocrisies.
And hypocrisy. Don't pretend.
And envies.
And envies.
And all evil speakings.
And all evil speaking. You notice the emphasis on speaking evil of one another.
As
if you read the Bible, you will acknowledge that the Bible places so much emphasis on the sin of the tongue. Because it seems as if no other member of the family poses more danger to us than the tongue. Even Solomon implied that, the wise man. Okay, now, read on.
As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby.
You see, growth, and you notice how it treat us. It treat us as children. And that from childhood we are going to grow to adult. Isn't that what happened to us biologically?
Yes.
Every one of us here was at some time or the other children. But you know what, brothers and sisters, our parents would be sad. They would go down to their grave sad if we had remained picking it. Isn't that right? If we had daughter remained the same size that we were born, and our mentality would develop, and that would bring sadness to them. We are expected to grow. As newborn babe, we should desire the sincere
milk of the word.
May I? There's a lot of things I didn't plan to comment on these. I just want to put the emphasis on growth. But why rush through God's word when things near God wants you to know? Notice. One of the signs of a healthy Christian is where you love to be exposed to the teaching of the word. You try to make it to every Bible study because you know something going to be discussed from which you can learn. That is a healthy sign. Wait, the opposite of that is unhealthy. Where you have no desire to come to Sunday school, to come to Bible study Wednesday night, that is unhealthy. Again, when we have children around us, is it younger brother, sister, or our own children, and they do not eat, We'll take them to doctor every week if we have to. Just to get them have some appetite. So a lot of time you do not need me or a brother or sister to say to you something is wrong. And the same way when you watch some Christian, they come to one service per week and they feel good about that. When God's word is being discussed and they can learn, the Bible says you must desire
the sincere milk of the word.
Of the word. The word is milk. That's where we get spiritual nourishment from.
That he may
and
grow
you
thereby.
Need it, that you may grow thereby. See the implication? If you do not get the word as regularly, as often, and as purely as you are to get it, you will not grow. And that's why so many Christians don't grow. They remain retarded. 2 Peter chapter 3:18.
But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
You hear, brothers and sisters? And may I just throw this out? Did you know that you cannot grow in grace if you do not grow in knowledge? That's right. You need to grow in knowledge so that you can grow in grace. 2 Peter 1. 5 through 8.
And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue.
May I? The word add is talking about growth.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. In other words, don't stay at one, go on to two, to three, to four, to five. Grow, add to your faith.
Add to your faith virtue.
Virtue.
And to virtue, knowledge.
To virtue, knowledge.
And to knowledge, temperance.
To knowledge, temperance.
And to temperance, patience.
To temperance, patience.
And to patience, godliness.
To patience, godliness.
And to godliness, brotherly kindness.
To godliness, brotherly kindness.
And to brotherly kindness, charity.
To brotherly kindness, charity. Watch here now. Now this is growth. That's progress that you'll make over time. Notice the other statement.
For if these things be in you and abound,
if they are in you and grow, the word abound means to grow.
They make
we get it? The word abound means to grow. Not only if they are in you, if they grow in you, they make you that you are neither
barren
nor unfruitful. You become a productive Christian for God. And that's why many of us don't produce anything for Christ. We don't win any soul. We don't bring anybody to Christ. We don't help other Christians to be more faithful and whatever. Because we ourselves have not grown. Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 14. Let us hear it.
Of whom we have many things to say.
Mm-hmm.
And hard to be uttered,
mm-hmm.
seeing ye are dull of a hearing.
Y'all get that? The Hebrew writer said, we have many things to say to you, Hebrew Christian. But we find it difficult to say because you're hard of hearing. They weren't really hard of hearing, you know, but they were retarded. That's a problem, truly. They were retarded. Read on.
For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again.
You get the point? By this time, many of you have been in the church long enough that you should be teachers. I should be able to discuss with you some mature things that mature Christian can take in and assimilate and absorb and benefit from and use to to help others. But he said, because you are retarded, there is a need for us to come back to you and teach you the first principle again.
Again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God.
You all hear it? The first principle of the oracles of God. It's talk about these. Faith, repentance, confession. The writer is saying, you should have moved on from this. But you have not made any growth. Brothers and sisters, this is telling that God has expectation of us. Read on.
And are become such as have need of milk.
Here again, you see, milk is for picnic. Strong food and meat is for adults.
And not of strong meat.
That's right.
For everyone.
You see, it's using a metaphor here. Meat and milk. In reference to the word. For everyone that.
That useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Hmm. For he is a babe.
That's right. What verse is that?
That was 13.
Read 14.
But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age.
Isn't it wonderful when we have Christians in the church who are mature? That's what God expects of us, that we grow. And that we utilize every opportunity for growth, because Jesus Christ can use you more effectively then. Strong meat is for
them that are of full age. Even those.
Notice this now. Even those.
Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised.
You all get that statement. I love it. It's by you and I using the word of God in different situations, under different circumstances, helping men and helping ourselves, that we become mature. When our senses are exercising using of the word, we are able to know what is wrong from what is right.
To discern both good and evil.
To discern good and evil. That is maturity. Now, may I move on? Should you be baptized again? This growth, our progress in the truth of Jesus Christ, sometimes confuses a person and deceive a person. This very growth that we have spent the past many minutes looking on in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Hebrew, this growth is what caused so many people to think they need to be baptized again. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? As we grow in Christ, if we are growing, what you find is we began to know more about different aspects of Christ, the Bible, the teaching of the Bible. As we grow, we begin to understand faith better, repentance, baptism. We begin to understand why we take the communion better, why we sing. And as we grow, day by day, we find ourselves understanding some things that when we became a Christian, we didn't even understand them. Are we all there? So the growth that we make over the next few weeks, months, years, help us to understand things like faith better, repentance better, baptism, the church, Christianity. My purpose in the church, God's purpose for me. Wait now. This growth and this understanding of different subjects make us reflect and make us realize that there are so many many things I didn't understand about bees when I became a Christian. It's growth doing that, you know. Growth is opening your eyes. That, but my God, when I became a Christian, I didn't understand all that. So right then, now you think the way to correct what you think's gone wrong is to get baptized again, because you're telling yourself, no, I realize I'm ready for baptism with all this knowledge. No, you were ready for baptism the time you were baptized. You were ready for baptism then, as far as God is concerned, because that's the way God fixed it, that you become a Christian. You know, it's like the little baby, little boy like to play with their muscle. They are 10, and they muscle up their hand and see them muscle. But my God, when they born, they could hardly move, and no mission born. But that's foolishness. You see, that's what is happening to us. Is the progress that we have made is playing trick on us. We were not expected to know all these things when we became Christian. God didn't expect us to know them. He expects us to know just the basic to place us in Christ. It is in Jesus Christ now we're going to grow and gain more knowledge. Are we all here? May I? And we are about to end. I grew up in Scott Pass, Main Road. When you're going from here to Montego Bay, you have to pass my wonderful district. When I was growing up, there were a lot of shops, but Mr. Arthur Blegrove was an upstairs shop. In comparison to most of the houses and buildings around, it looked like the largest building at that time in the community. Now, so growing up, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and only when I go to Poros, which is walking distance, and of course for us walking distance is 3 miles, you see, because, you know, I walk 3 miles to school every day and 3 miles back. You know. But when you go to Port, you may see some other building bigger than that. But I felt that was Mr. Arthur Blegrove's shop, upstairs shop, was the biggest building in the district. My God, little after when I come to Kingston to live and see and go back to my district. Oh, Mr. Arthur Blegrove's shop looks so small. Truly. It really looks smart, but it was the same building. It's now that I have come to Kingston and see some big building. My mind, my eyes is looking at Mr. Blegrove's shop in a comparative way, and that's why it looks smart. But it is the same size. It's my exposure. Experience seeing bigger building that play trick on me. Well, it's the same thing. Why so many people think they want to be baptized again? No, you got baptized right. You knew enough that you needed to know when you got baptized. And God expects, you know, once you get baptized and you are in Christ, in his body, the church, then you grow. Don't let that growth play trick on you. Your baptism was done at the right time. And tonight, if you're here wanting to be baptized, you, if you're here tonight, not a child of God, not a Christian, you can step forward and give Jesus Christ your life. If you're here as a Christian who has strayed, backslidden, then you can step forward tonight and recommit your life as we stand. to sing an invitation song. Yeah, come, brother.